Welcome to St. Augustine this evening, or as the great and all-powerful Pete Melfi, the owner of the 904 Now app, refers to this, the Mike Davis Show. It's kind of easier anyway, and if I could just let my ego get out of the way, it would be the Mike Davis Show all the time, but I'm just so humble. Just ask anyone but my wife. She will tell you. We've got a great show for you. It's Monday. I hope you had a great long weekend. We took Friday afternoon off. We always do. We're here Monday through Thursday with you. I'm going to do a couple of reads. Got a special guest. You remember her from the past. She's going to give us some great insight today. And a really good young producer in the mix today. But I'll introduce all of them in just a minute. So Salomon Services, it's the premier place for personal training in St. Augustine. They specialize in both one-on-one youth and adult personal training classes. They have small group strength and fitness development classes, athletic development for both team and individual, sports performance, speed and agility development. And if you've got an injury, they help get you back on the court or on the field quickly and safely. They have a great state-of-the-art center with indoor and outdoor turf areas, and all of their coaches are certified through the National Strength and Conditioning Association. Give them a call today and make an appointment, 904-461-9945, or visit their website, salomonservices.com, and sign up today. Absolutely wonderful place. And one of our favorite sponsors, do so much work in this community, Bozard, Ford, Lincoln, and St. Augustine. Their goal to make sure your time and experience buying a new or used car is stress-free, fun, and enjoyable. Bozard is a family-owned business since 1949. Bozard, Ford, Lincoln has been the recipient of numerous dealer awards, including being ranked the number one automotive dealer in the nation by Dealer Raider, and they've also won back-to-back President's Awards from Ford Motor Company, which is the highest honor given by Ford to their dealers. Check them out today online at BozardFord.com or go see them. If you go out there, check them out. See if they've got that 904 Now burger, which we have rumored to be having. And my co-host tonight, the lovely Amanda, dressed like Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I feel a little overdressed tonight in the studio. I know.
It's been two long weeks.
But I'm here. And I have questions about the two long weeks and your weekend. We have a weekend of contrast.
We do.
Which we're going to get to.
We will get to it. But first, we have Powell Heating and Air Conditioning. Their dedication to customer service has been evident in everything they do. For 36 years, they have been a locally owned business run in St. Augustine. From the moment they answer your call until the time they leave your home, they are working to make you comfortable and confident about the care and service you receive from Powell. With their fleet of 10 plus trucks and 15,000 square foot warehouse stocked with parts and equipment, they are ready to serve you around the clock. They service all heating and air conditioning brands. Their emergency service is always open 7 days a week and 24 hours a day, including nights, weekends, and holidays. Definitely check out Powell Heating and Air for locally owned quality AC and heating services. We also have Ward Medical Services. My mom's just about to have her second knee replaced, so we will be calling the Ward Medical Team. It is a locally family-owned medical equipment supplier in St. John's County area. Trusted by local doctors and hospitals for over 22 years and my family, Ward Medical should be your first call for everything from wheelchairs to home oxygen and sleep therapy equipment and supplies. Stop by their local showroom at 2435 US 1, just south of Walmart in the Lewis Point Plaza. You can also call them at 904-794-9600 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. From their home to yours, Ward Medical Services.
Very good. Well done.
Thank you.
You're getting the hang of this.
I'm getting the hang of it.
And you know who's going to, who has no idea what the hang of it is yet, but is getting the hang of it?
Yes.
Is Isabella. Isabella, you want to say hello? Look at that.
Hi.
Youngest producer in podcasting, and she's crushing it.
Crushing it.
Crushing it. Awesome. She had a great teacher. And also, I want to shout out, I think Catherine, who watches us quite a bit, her husband had a birthday today, so shout out to him.
Yesterday.
But happy birthday to him.
Yeah.
You had the weekend. We had very opposite weekends.
We did.
So I want you to let, you've got three small children.
Three small children.
Your life is chaos.
Complete chaos all the time.
I have all of my kids out of the house. I have non-chaos weekends, which are amazingly fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to hit me when we're done telling these stories, but
it's okay.
How was your weekend?
It's a season. I get that it's a season. All right. So we flew back
from Mexico. It's a 23-year-long season.
Depends on your spread of your ages for your kids.
Yes, yes.
So we flew back from Mexico on Monday. Crazy late Monday. So Tuesday, we're all wrecked. We're all exhausted. So we're getting school done. We're getting everything prepped and ready to go because I have a second child who has a September birthday. And the only weekend that we could do her birthday party, since my son's birthday party was at the beginning of the month, we had to do her birthday party in the middle of the month.
Very important to have birthday party parity.
Yes.
Very important.
Or else you get jealousy and you get...
Yes.
So yeah. Whatever we do for him...
Then it's like an episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You have to be careful.
Like, Isabella's in January. So she's lucky because, like, they've all forgotten kind of what she's got going on for her birthday. So they compare their birthdays between each other. So we have to make sure they both have cupcakes in class. We have to make sure that they both have family dinner that is equivalent in their choice. We have to make sure that they have a party that they feel is equivalent. So we're getting schoolwork done. We're getting all of the, we've come back from an international trip, stuff cleaned and broken down. Now we've got to pack because we've got the U.S. reception this week, this past weekend. So we had my daughter's birthday on Saturday morning and then did a quick clean so we wouldn't have ants in the house and then headed out the door.
Yes.
So we go from birthday party to packing the car up, getting out the door. We drove up to Georgia, 6-hour drive. So we're getting the kids in bed, or between 10 and 11 in the hotel room, and quick sleep, and then up getting ready for the reception. And we had a reception.
What time was the reception?
It was supposed to start at noon, but they were late because my grandmother wouldn't leave church early. She never has, like, the Florida family. She never has us or any part of that side of the family with her at church. And so the plan was to sneak out after the sermon, and then she wouldn't let them leave. So she made the bride and groom late for their U.S. reception.
She had to introduce the bride and groom to all of her friends.
Yep.
Who she's been telling them about since they became the bride and the groom.
So she made them late for the reception.
I think that's a bold move on her part. well played.
She's...
leg irons, really? Were those required?
No, you don't need leg irons. When you're talking about Elizabeth Tucker, you don't need leg irons.
You're not leaving for fear of death.
She cocks that eyebrow, and you are not leaving. You are keeping Elizabeth happy because she is that kind of lady. She is a fun, spunky lady.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had the reception, and then we had to pile into the car, and we had to get home. Because we had homeschool community today, which is why I'm dressed so casually, because I am tired and I had to teach 13-year-olds for 9 hours.
I thought you were just Joe Roganing the show.
No, I'm not that cool. I'm just tired.
I didn't think he was that cool either, but I mean, he's kind of like a bazillion followers.
Well, so. I mean, if I had a fraction of his money, then maybe I could get away with the hoodie all the time.
Yeah, you're like completely homeschooled. It's fine. And you've actually got the Halloween theme going on a little early.
I know, it's a little early. Fall starts in our house after the birthdays are done.
Okay.
So we give a little bit of time for the birthday decorations to stay up to make the birthday kid happy. And then we sweep it all out and it's pumpkins.
So I'm going to throw anybody with a pair of white pants or a seersucker just right under the bus.
Post-Labor Day.
Right. It's post-Labor Day, right? The majority of people don't know or care about that, right?
So Clay asked me.
Okay.
Because he's heard that it's a thing, but he always has to double check. So every fall,
it's like
he always
after Easter and until like, the rest of us are like, wait a minute. We just want to know when football season starts. Once we know when football season starts, that's when fall officially is here. Depending where you're at in fall, how much longer you have to wait to truly get a taste of fall, right? Yeah. And at Easter, we're still in mourning.
Yep.
Because the Final Four is almost over, and we won't have sports again for forever. Baseball kind of counts.
It's a solemn Lent for you.
It's a solemn Lent for us. I mean, we celebrate a little bit on Monday night, but the rest of it's like it's Easter's always around that. So
what was your first sign of fall when you were a kid? Was it sports?
No, it was Labor Day going back to school.
Okay, so my first sign of like the fall season.
Okay.
As a Florida girl in the panhandle of Florida was when I would first see the locust shells on the trees. It wasn't falling leaves because it doesn't get cold.
Locust shells on
trees. But I would see the locust shells on the leaves and that's like, okay, we're in fall now, for real.
And Troy's watching, so I just want to know how many locust shells he ate during a dare or how many dares he dared get. He's from the land. These things happen down there.
Oh,
They probably put barbecue sauce on them and made somebody eat them.
Oh, gross.
You guys are laughing. Troy's going to come back with some hilarious Deland bug story typed in the notes.
Boys do gross stuff to each other.
Yeah. That's,
yes.
That's true.
But you guys are always so nice to one another.
I didn't say we're nice to each other. I said we didn't do actively gross things. I already told you, girls go scorched earth.
Yeah, girls are mean.
So that's just reality.
Isabel, are you saying this from like experience?
No, because I'm mean.
Okay.
She is a big sister, so.
It was a confession. I just didn't catch it as a confession. Got it. Actually, that was safe, because if you had said yes, any one of your friends watching would have been, is she talking about me? So you got out of that the best way you possibly could.
Self-deprecation. My friends are all nice.
Yes. So.
Yes, her friends are very sweet.
Yeah, so that was, and then you rushed back Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I feel bad, but really not bad. Really, because we had years of that with the kids. We had four kids, 8.5 years apart.
It's a season.
We were constantly going. Wesley played three sports. Mm-hmm. Reese and Ethan and Matt all played the soccer and basketball, and they played middle school softball, right? Did all those sports. So you're always running from event to event. There were certain nights you're like,
I feel like that's the boy rotation. You're just following the season.
You're just following sports. And then there was travel ball and all of those things. So when Matt, as a sophomore, decides, I'm not going to play basketball anymore and I'm going to play some other sports, but there's no more travel sports involved, Saturdays became a thing again.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, having a Saturday back where you wake up and you go, I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
7 years later is still the greatest feeling of, I don't have to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I believe it.
And so we didn't go anywhere Saturday. Yeah. I didn't leave the house Saturday. I didn't go anywhere. Had a couple of things. In fact, I missed Bobby and Elizabeth's Surf Quest. There's a great video of Elizabeth out there on the Surf Quest website. Great wave.
She's doing awesome.
She rode that wave longer than Bobby has ever ridden a wave in his life. Just saying.
She rode that wave longer than I have ever ridden a wave in my life.
Awesome watching that. But and we just took it easy, and I was dead tired. It was a long week. Sunday, I got up, came out here, did a little bit of work at the office, went back home, did some yard work. But it was one of the most relaxing weekends, and I was just like, went to bed Sunday night. I was like, I didn't have to do much. What I did wasn't bad. When I cut the yard, it felt like fall. And I was like, and then I come in and you're like, and I'm like, I don't feel bad at all. I mean, I've been there. I've done that.
Don't feel bad. It is a season. I know I'm in the season right now for the craziness and the chaos. We've got one more brother. So none of us, Louie and I, none of us have sisters. We only have brothers. He's got two brothers. I've got one. So we've got one more sibling that is yet unmarried. But they've set the date for next October. So we've got a year to recover from this wedding.
Okay.
Before we get back into
the
wedding.
The kids will be older.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to be, it'll be out of September. So it's not a September wedding.
Yep.
So that's kind of nice.
I did try and convince them to keep the same wedding color so we didn't have to buy any more bridesmaids' dresses. But
and we've got a wedding coming up too.
Yeah.
Reese, my son, got engaged.
Wow. Yeah.
Congratulations, not this weekend, Reese. The weekend before. So, yeah, so we've got one coming up. So it's going to be really, really good. Really nice young lady, Courtney. I think you probably know her, but she's really, really nice. And
awesome.
Yeah. So we're having. So on another note, we mentioned SurfQuest.
Yeah.
October the 6th is Kathy Brown's celebration of life at the River House, the house that she built, from 4 to 6 p.m. October 6th. And the veterans stand down is October the 8th. 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Elks Lodge on the island. And Colonel Bill Dudley will be here tomorrow to tell us all about that. So he'll be in. And Hurricane Fiona update brought to you by the Brightway Insurance Agency, the Casey Agency. It's, all the power is out in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I have comments later, but all the power. If you've ever been to Puerto Rico and you see the power grid, you're kind of like, if a thunderstorm came through, I would expect most of the island power to be gone.
Well, Louis half Nicaraguan, half Puerto Rican. And so he has family that has spent a lot of time in Puerto Rico as a result. And they're like, you know, it's not unusual for the power to be out without any storm.
It's not. They don't have concrete poles.
Yeah.
They don't have, like, seriously wooden poles. They have island trees that are snaked and twisted. And they're like, well, that one's 10 feet tall. That'll work.
Yeah.
And they drive a foot in the ground and then they run this power line. And you're like, you're just watching this. You're thinking that none of these are going to make it. They're just not going to make it. A truck could go by at 65 miles an hour and the grid's going down.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
It's unfortunate.
It is. And I have comments, but I will save them until a little bit later. So that is all of our news.
There's a task force. Hydro One is doing, they're looking for donations for a yard sale, a fundraiser.
Okay.
I'll get that information for tomorrow.
So we'll have that tomorrow. We love helping those guys. They're a wonderful organization. Great, great. Do you get your t-shirt yet?
I have not.
They are making you work for that t-shirt.
It's okay. I will.
I might wear mine tomorrow just to...
just to spite me.
Yes. Yes. It's one of my favorite shirts, so yes. Oh, yeah. All right. Football. Did you get a chance to watch any football this weekend?
When did I get a chance to watch football? You know what I had to do? I had to read Where the Red Fern Grows this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. That was so sad.
What is Where the Red...
Oh, my...
You haven't read... You have
it's
to read
so
it.
So good.
No, no. If you told me it was really sad, I do not have to read it.
No, you do have to read it. It's such really a moving sweet, story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's...
Can you give me the Cliff Notes version?
So it's told through the memory of an old man. He is remembering his two dogs and what he went through as a poor...
Was one of them named Old Yeller?
No.
Okay, no. Just
old,
checking.
Old Dan.
There's Old Dan and there's Little Ann.
Yeah. I'm crying already. I haven't even read the book.
No, it's amazing relationship between him and his dogs and the journey that, I mean, he's a 11, 12-year-old boy who's desperate for dogs. His family is very poor. They can't afford. He wants this particular kind of hound dog.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he wants to become a coon hunter with these hound dogs, and his family just can't afford it. And so it goes through how he figures out how to get these dogs and the process of him getting the dogs and training them and just this relationship, this amazing relationship that they have with the dogs. And yes, it will make you cry. It is, you know, heartbreaking, but all stories that have dogs are heartbreaking. I mean, they just are. But it's such a good, it's a classic story.
It's so good.
I don't know. I have trauma in my life. We took, when I was four, we took a dog to the farm.
Yeah. We took the dog to the farm to
visit a farm. Mm-hmm. One of my dad's coworkers had a farm. We were out riding on the tractor and the dog decided to chase the tractor. Oh.
No.
Trauma. Yeah. When I saw Old Yeller in the movies, I was like,
I bet.
No. I've done this in real life. People cry. It just wasn't a good 4-year-old moment.
Yeah. It's a hard one.
Yeah, it's hard when you lose a dog. Dogs become part of the family. Yeah.
There's elements of his faith story.
Mm-hmm.
He prays for a way to get these dogs, and then that's revealed to him, and he finds that to be a miracle. And then, you know, the life of his dogs, and then, you know, ultimately...
So he has to be a fairly young man when the dogs pass away.
He is.
Okay. I mean, it's not...
He's my age.
A fairly young man.
Yeah. The wise old producer in the back.
Okay. At least you didn't say, listen, boomers.
So put in the chat, put in the comments if you've read Where the Red Fern Grows and if it moved you. Right. And if Mike should read it, I think that we should give him a fall. Yeah.
Let me know if you want me to read the book. If enough people say I should read the book, I'll put it on my surf trip reading list.
We'll ruin his vacation.
No. I don't. One of the nice things about being away is you usually have a lot more time to read.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing in my life that I wish I had time to do more often.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
So that's one of the things that I've loved about homeschooling and staying up with my daughter on the level that she's in, because I lead the level that she's been in the past 2 years. And the reading lists are just amazing in the program that we're in. And so some of them, like Where the Red Fern Grows, I've read before. I get to reread that as an adult. And, you know, the Narnia books, I got to reread those.
See, those weren't on our reading list.
I know, they weren't. And
we had stuff on our reading list that was awful.
I had to read Antigone so many times, and it's terrible.
Beowulf.
It's terrible.
Beowulf. First of all, it's unreadable. Secondly, you can't pronounce it when you're reading it. It's no.
Silas Marner.
Yeah.
I had to read that one.
I never read that one. I don't know how the sisters missed that.
That was my first ever book that I was like, not going to do it. Where's the Cliff Notes?
Sisters of Saint. We had, I had a journalism class where we were reading novels that were based on real events.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 12-week course. They wanted us to read 12 books.
Yeah.
Well, when you're reading the smaller books and you're doing all the other college stuff, not a bad thing. Yeah. I wasn't a speed reader.
Yeah.
In the middle of it, they throw in A Bridge Too Far.
Oh.
Have you seen the book A Bridge Too... I mean, first of all, the movie takes 4 days to watch.
It's a doorstop.
Atlas Shrugged is jealous of A Bridge Too Far, right? It really, truly, yeah. Atlas Shrugged is like A Bridge Too Far. And I wanted to read the book because I really wanted the story, but it's like, oh my God, this is going on and on and on and on and on. I think it put me a week and a half behind on the next book.
Yeah.
But I can remember reading A Farewell to Arms, which wasn't a hard read. Yeah. But at the end, just tossing the book across the courtyard because I was so pissed at the ending.
Oh, that was me with...
It's like,
Was it Fahrenheit 451 or 1984? I think it was 1984.
Yeah.
I was so enthralled with the story. I was just so into it. I get to the end and I threw it in the back seat. My mom was driving and I was finishing the book. Yeah. I threw it. It's an important book to read, but the end made me mad.
No. Yeah, some of those, and I don't know whether that's what the author wanted or not, yeah. Right? I don't know if Hemingway somewhere was smiling, but I was like, guy gives up everything.
I don't know that Hemingway smiled a lot.
Maybe after a few drinks. I don't Maybe. Know. Maybe.
He used to drink at Marineland.
Did he really?
Uh-huh. There was a hotel and there was a bar, like a restaurant and a bar.
Yep.
And the actual bar where you would sit at the bar top was on hydraulics and it was built like a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they were open, it would rock like a boat on a swell and he would drink at that bar. Supposedly they saved it and supposedly it's in storage somewhere so that when they eventually rebuild a restaurant down at Marineland, they can bring back Hemingway's bar. But it's probably in some Jacksonville mansion
somewhere. I think they should just put it in Studio B.
That'd be amazing.
I mean, we just put it in Studio B and Pete's sitting over there. That way when Troy is doing his bollock show, the thing is rocking back and forth. Yeah. I think it would be awesome to do that.
It adds an element. We had our Christmas party there before we had to tear that building down.
Yes.
And we turned on the bar and it's wild to drink.
It was still working?
Yeah. It's wild to drink on a hydraulic bar swaying. That adds an element of surprise to the night.
We went on a senior cruise out of high school, and it took us about two nights to realize that if we were drinking,
you didn't
feel
it,
and the seas were rough, we would walk right down that hallway and never touch a wall. And the halls were not that wide; it was on a smaller boat. That thing was rocking. If you didn't have anything to drink, you're like bouncing off the walls trying to get. We're like, have you guys noticed? Oh yeah, we've noticed.
Because you're tense when you're sober. When you're drunk, you're loosey-goosey, so you just roll with it.
We just roll. It was like, yeah, I know.
We went on a Bahamas trip, and it was the way we got there was a casino boat. And it was like the casino boat during the day. Like, that is not a pretty sight. Those party casino boats that just go out for a couple of hours, they would just use it as a ferry back and forth to Freeport during the day. And so it's just us and a bunch of Bahamians. And there's like maybe two or three other, non-Bahamian residents that were on it. And they don't have stabilizers. And since we're sober, we can tell. And so it looked like a refugee boat. I mean, we were all just laid out because we realized that if we laid down. So the casino was open. None of us were in there because you could feel the motion too much. The food was open. We would run down, or one of us would run down and get it and then come back. And stayed laying down.
No.
It was a rough way to go back and forth to the Bahamas.
No.
Would not recommend.
No, I'm going to say that's a no. So the other thing that happened this weekend is the Gators won, the Noles won.
Yeah.
And the Jags won.
Mm-hmm.
Which the Jaguars right now are in sole possession of first place in their division. The Titans play the Bills tonight, which the Bills should beat them, which will leave the Jags as the only team with a win in the AFC South. Go Jags. I'm excited. It's been a long time, so I better say this.
I would love some momentum. I would love for the Jaguars to just have an awesome season.
Just get over 8-8. Just kind of get in that realm where all season long we can kind of talk about the playoffs and kind of be serious about it. Because the last year, it's like...
We're asking for hope, people. We just want
some hope.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and the Miami Hurricanes lost.
Well, that's always good.
I know. But the Miami Dolphins, I think, scored like a bazillion points in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Yeah.
They at least scored 28. They may have gotten 35.
So it was a good
Troy will let us know
because
he was watching, I'm sure. It was great. Football's back. It's awesome to watch football. Yeah. College football's so much fun.
Yeah, it is.
And Appalachian State, I don't know if you saw the end of that game. You saw nothing, did you?
No.
So Appalachian State goes to Texas A&M and knocks off Texas A&M a week ago.
Okay.
So...
That's a big one to knock out.
The college game day was supposed to be at College Station where Texas A&M is.
Yeah.
But because they got knocked off, they decided, well, we'll go to Appalachian State for their game in Boone, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Which was, the entire town was probably drunk from Thursday
still
till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. Sobering up. I'm not judging. I'm actually jealous. So they have Luke Combs, who's an Appalachian State grad, really cool country music singer, shows up, does the picks with all the crew. App State is losing to Troy.
Yeah.
It's, you're going to ruin the entire feel of SportsCenter's game day being there. They drive, I don't know, 12, 17 plays. They have a pass to the end zone late in the fourth quarter, about a minute left, and it's incomplete. Troy gets the ball and decides, well, we're not going to mess around with a punt getting blocked. Or we're just going to take the safety.
Yeah.
So they do. So now it's a like a four-point game.
Yeah.
And they punt the ball. Appalachian State has zero timeouts, and they are 53 yards from the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Three straight incomplete passes. There's like 3 seconds left on the clock. The App State quarterback cannot throw the ball 60 yards in the air. So he throws it about 10 yards short of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Huge crowd of people jumps for it. Ball bounces out of that crowd into an Appalachian State receiver running towards the goal line, runs around the pile, gets a block from one of his guys, and in the end zone, game over, App State wins.
Good gracious.
It was just an unbelievable finish.
Those are fun, though.
It was
fun to watch.
Yes, you watched that.
Finishes.
Yes, the Wolfpack won again, Bobby. We'll see you shortly during the season. I think we have to play at Raleigh, so I'm not sure it's not going to be. We're probably going to get beat, FSU, I mean, but we'll see.
There's a Wolfpack football game?
Don't say that to Bobby.
I know.
Do not anger Bobby. He's one of our most loyal fans. When Bobby brings up the Wolfpack, Bobby, good luck on the Wolfpack game.
Oh.
Yes, there you go. There you go.
Mea culpa.
They were, and actually, Bobby knows this, they were the first team to beat Florida State in the ACC.
Well,
on a Thursday night game.
I'm very happy with the Wolfpack then.
Warwick Dunn was a yard short of a touchdown. Last play of the game. So, one of Bobby's greatest moments. One I still can't sleep through in my dreams. Thank you very much. All right, we haven't gotten to none of the stack of stuff.
Okay.
So I have, I've got America's Gov.
Okay.
I got Nobody Noticed Stack, and I've got the Oregon Trail. Where do you guys want to go first?
I think Isabella's going to say Oregon Trail.
No.
Is that where you want to go?
We should go to the Nobody Knows.
Nobody Knows?
Nobody Knows. Okay.
All right.
The stack of stuff that nobody knows.
All right. Let's go.
So, first of all, we touched on one story.
Okay.
All right. So, Puerto Rico is going to have a hurricane. Mm-hmm. They're going to have infrastructure problems. When this happened in Donald Trump's second year.
He was racist. And
he got raked over the coals by the national media. So, the Puerto Rican people got a lot of coverage, and they got a lot of sympathy over what they were going through.
A lot of fundraising.
I have news for the Puerto Rican people. You will have a 24-hour news cycle in which they will talk about your storm, and then they are not coming back this time to talk about how Biden is a racist, how Biden isn't getting enough supplies and equipment down there to help you recover. You will get none of that this time.
Yeah.
I apologize, but that's just the way the media is going to run this. In a week, I will have to remind everybody that
there was
Puerto Rico has no power. There's a storm down there, and people are looking for water and food.
Yeah.
Just
they found supplies a year after that storm that had just been abandoned in shipping crates.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible.
Well, yes, Puerto Rico has its own issues besides getting supplies there. When you get them there, you got to actually distribute them.
Distribute them well.
All right, so the other nobody noticed story.
Okay.
Last night, our President Joe Biden gave an interview on 60 Minutes. Did you know that?
No.
See, Isabella, did you know that?
No.
She definitely did.
No one noticed. You two know everything about everything and no one noticed.
No.
And it's a good thing. I'm hoping the Chinese weren't watching.
Okay.
Because they asked him about Taiwan. Would we fight to defend Taiwan?
Oh.
And he said, yes. Which the White House had to then walk back and no, we still believe in the one China policy, even though we recognize Taiwan and we don't want the Chinese in Taiwan. We don't want to tell the Chinese that we want to recognize Taiwan and we want them to be independent. However, we will send Nancy Pelosi over there to calm tensions while the Chinese are mad that
Maybe
Nancy Pelosi is going over.
Maybe they should send John Cena and he can practice his Mandarin again.
I lost all respect for him.
That was so sad.
I lost all respect.
That was a sad video.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... I'm a tough guy in the WWE. I'm a wrestler. a macho.
I'm a tough guy when it's scripted and I have a stunt double.
Have I apologized enough for maybe losing my tough guy, fake tough guy status? Mm. And John Cena came in here and beat the crap out of me.
Absolutely.
I'm still never apologizing to China for anything I ever say. They're not my country and I don't make any money out of them.
Yeah.
They're not sponsoring this show. And if they did want to, I'd tell them to pound sand. I don't need them. I'm fine without them.
Yep.
I'm good. So, yeah. So Biden goes on and does the interview. A lot of other issues. They asked him, are you running for president? Well, that decision hasn't been made yet.
Oh, yeah?
I intend to run, but it hasn't been made yet.
That's a change, though, because he was saying over the summer, of course I'm running.
Yes.
And so that's a switch that he's...
Well, I just think someone forgot to tell him before, you're running again. Right? And I think it all depends on what happens in the midterms. If the Democrats do well, he's on the ticket. Especially if Trump is running. Right? Because
I have a different take on this.
But if the Democrats do poorly,
yeah,
it's his fault. Mm-hmm. He's going to take the blame. He'll be the fall guy. And Democrats will run somebody completely different.
So I feel like over the summer, he was speaking from the heart. Absolutely, I'm running. Because he's completely convinced that he's doing a great job.
Okay.
And he kept having to be reminded, like, hey, remember, we're not sure about that yet. And so I think he finally said what they wanted him to say this whole time.
So regardless of his age and what issues he might be dealing with that,
his
major liability, mm-hmm, is that he has been in Washington for 60 years. Mm-hmm. He has lived in a silo where people kiss your rear end for 60 years, no matter what you say, because they still want a favor from you. Mm-hmm. And he's in a position to grant some really big favors. Mm-hmm. He's the worst possible person to ask what's going on in the country because no one gives him a fair deal about what's going on.
No.
And the media doesn't question him because he's not out in the media. And then when he does go out in the media, his handlers go, well, we'll clean that up later. And everyone's like, well, let's hope no one sees that. I'll be willing to bet that 60 Minutes ratings were probably abysmal.
Yeah.
I will tell you, he gave the speech on Labor Day. I looked for 2 weeks, mm-hmm, to find the ratings on that Labor Day weekend speech. The angry red background, I'm auditioning for the next Star Wars movie, right? You cannot
Nothing
find those ratings.
Red backgrounds, though.
Thanks for pointing that out. But we're not angry. We're rather happy and we're smiling and we're laughing.
It's a happy red.
It's a happy red. This is happy red. The other red is ominous red.
The black with the glowing red lights. That was a little ominous. This is...
Hey, Pete, thanks for not having glowing red lights behind this. Just saying, man, especially during this segment. Maybe we should have filmed this on the black and the white walls over there, right? The 904 Now background.
904 Now wall.
Anyway, thanks for calling out that hypocrisy. I think that the ratings had to be abysmal for that speech.
Had
the ratings been good, they would have been out. Had the ratings been phenomenal, they would have been out.
I think the live ratings, you're right, were terrible. I think that the clips on YouTube probably got a lot of views because people were like, what is going on?
Yes.
If you watch the CNN replay of that, they alter the colors of it.
It's pink.
They try and alter the colors of it to make it not look like a terrifying 1984 speech.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets real weird where suddenly the red stripes and the American flag that's back there are pink and the lights look pink. And then somebody's like, yeah, that's not helping. And it goes back to red.
Yeah.
So they tried to color tone it.
So Scott Pelley asked Biden, your approval rating in the country is well below 50%. I wonder why you think that is. And Biden's response.
Oh, no.
It's a really difficult time. We're in an inflection point in the history of this country. We're going to make decisions, and we're making decisions now, that are going to determine what we're going to look like 10 years from now or longer. Biden continued, that was my or longer. The impact on the psyche of the American people as the consequences of the pandemic is profound. Think of how that has changed everything. You know, people's attitudes about themselves, their families, about the state of the nation, about the state of their community. And so there's a lot of uncertainty out there. People disapprove of me because they're psychologically unable to be happy. I don't think Biden said that. That's kind of a paraphrase of Biden's
quote. People disapprove of me because there's a psychological problem with them.
Maybe they're just worried about how they're going to pay for their electricity,
yeah,
their food,
yeah,
their gas to get to work, and understanding that even though they may have gotten a raise this year, they are anywhere between $400 to $700 a month behind based on all kinds of different studies.
Yeah. But what's interesting about that statement to me is that it's his, in the quote, it's what we're going to look like.
Yes.
And I feel like
what we're going to look like in 10 years.
I feel like there's such a giant focus on the external, just in all parts of politics and current events discussions. There's so much discussion about looks, about the intrinsic characteristics with which we are born. Like, why is that the one cogent part of this is about what we're going to look like in 10 years?
Yeah.
They're the ones making the demographic arguments, the long-term demographic arguments. So I just feel like so much of it is just superficial nonsense that has nothing to do with the heart and soul of this country.
No.
Who cares what we look like?
No.
I care that we're a freedom-loving country.
That we're nice to each other. Right? That we support one another, that we defend the borders of our country, that we have rules and laws, and that you understand that if somebody does something wrong, they're going to be punished for that, not let go to do it again to somebody else that's innocent, that has done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a whole bunch in there to pack it up.
That's annoying to me.
By the way, Martha's Vineyard, the greatest and best part of the country for evicting illegal aliens.
Oh, yeah?
Less than 24 hours...
Who would have thought a bunch of rich people know how to evict people?
Evict, I know. Who knew? Who knew?
Bunch of landlords know how to evict people. It's weird that.
By the way, there was a story in the Martha's Vineyard newspaper that there's 50 openings on the island, right? If you go through and read the other, it's like there's enough jobs that maybe you could have given somebody a job. And there's probably a few guest houses, 20,000 square feet up there that you could have housed a few people in. Just saying.
Yeah.
I don't have a guest house.
I don't have a guest house.
I don't have a guest house. All right.
Pitch a tent in my backyard.
Where you guys want to go next? We got a few minutes. I have literally, I'm going to have to make up five questions. We were here 10 minutes early.
And we didn't talk.
And we didn't make up five questions.
And we didn't.
Which is, so if you have a question you'd like to get on five questions, say the audience can be a part of this. Just add it into the comments. It's got to be somewhat appropriate because Isabella is here. But yeah. Yes. You guys can participate in five questions today because we were so distracted talking about weekends that we didn't get there.
Sorry.
That's okay. All right. So I've got, and whatever we don't get to today, we can push off. So I got the Oregon Trail, America's Gov.
America's Gov.
All right. So Gavin Newsom.
Not America's Gov.
Has been going after America's Gov. Ron DeSantis.
Good luck with that, Gavin.
Good luck. He's actually challenged him to a debate.
Fantastic. I will sit in the front row.
I'm all in. I think DeSantis should tell him, yes, the day after the election is over, we'll do the debate. Uh-huh. Right? We're not going to take any time away, but the day after the election, let's have this debate.
Let's do it.
Let's do it then, because then
let's
we can actually...
pay-per-view.
pay-per-view is probably pretty good. Right?
Can we have Joe Rogan moderate?
Oh, I want Joe.
Kevin Newsom.
And as much as I kind of get mad at Dave Portnoy, I'd rather have Dave Portnoy asking the questions than anybody in the media.
Yeah.
Anybody, right? So that has been going on. Meanwhile, it has come to light that DeSantis's in-laws fled California for Florida during the pandemic.
Funny that.
And gave money to Ron DeSantis's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, so everyone is saying that DeSantis is struggling, including some emails I get from the DeSantis campaign.
Well, they need something to spur on the dollar.
I know. And his ads have been amazing.
They've been fantastic.
They've been great. But Governor Ron DeSantis, according to the Floridian Press, broke the national fundraising record this Friday, September 16th.
Yep.
I got an ad on the 15th. We're short. Apparently, a lot of people listened and started sending money.
They replied to that ad.
Yes, they did. The Governor DeSantis campaign has raised $177.4 million, surpassing the previous record holder, ex-California gubernatorial candidate Meg Whitman.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is interesting. So DeSantis, Meg Whitman, Jay Pritzker from Illinois, who also ran in 2018. Jay Pitzker in 2022 is in fourth place, but well behind the 2018 version of himself. Greg Abbott of Texas, Bruce Rauner of Illinois in 2014. Wonder why there's so much money in Illinois politics.
I know.
Shh, don't answer that. We'd like to live to see the weekend.
Well, what's interesting is you see it's deep blue states, and then it's like purplish states.
Yeah.
So why are people spending so much money in deep blue states as Democratic candidates?
I don't know.
Why would it cost that much?
You know who would have been the best moderator for this debate? I'm watching comments online, and Ricky Gervais's name came up. I would love to have had George Carlin moderate any presidential
debate. Fantastic. It'd have to be after 9 because they're not making the FCC.
after 9 in California, which is like 12 o'clock. Yeah. I'd be up watching it. Yes, that would have been such a great moderator.
VHS tapes of that.
Mm-hmm. We've got Dan Rather moderating on one channel. On the other channel, we're going to let
George Carlin.
No one would watch the Rather one. They'd all be watching Carlin because he'd be getting real. So anyway, DeSantis has done an amazing job raising money. He's going to have a lot. Meanwhile, Representative Charlie Crist has managed to raise $20 million.
All right.
While Crist's numbers are almost 10 times.
He's sponsored by Coppertone.
Crist has raised $20 million in a little over a month. That ain't going to get it there because you only have less than 2 months to go.
Yeah.
And the ads have been...
Oh, Charlie.
Yes. The ads have been pretty good. So,
do you think the song that will play on election night when he loses is Cheer Up Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that. Again, that'll be in the Nobody Noticed That.
Yeah.
Whatever song they play, no one will notice because everybody's going to be happy. But also, Gavin Newsom slammed the move that DeSantis made to send 50 immigrants to Martha's Vineyard as reprehensible.
Oh, is it?
Forgetting the fact that he launched a homeless bus program in San Francisco as the mayor to send people back to their homes, which means had he been the mayor of some city in Florida, he would have been flying them back to Venezuela.
It's morally correct for him to do it.
Yes.
Because, and this was something that we encountered in an off-air discussion.
Yeah.
When you believe that you are coming from a good place, then whatever you do is morally correct. Yeah. But when you believe that the other person is not coming from an equally good place, then everything they do is automatically wrong, regardless of whether it's the same action.
And here's Charlie Crist's problem, mm-hmm. right? So morally, right? To me, if you say something, you should believe something. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe something, don't just say it to a crowd to make them vote for you, which is what politicians do in both parties.
Absolutely.
Here's the prime example. This is a letter from the NRA in Florida.
Okay.
So in a 2006 letter endorsing Republican Attorney General Charlie Crist, the National Rifle Association wrote, "No one has been stronger in support of the Second Amendment, self-defense and anti-crime issues than Charlie Crist, and we sincerely appreciate your solid pro-sportsman, pro-Second Amendment, pro-freedom record. Mm-hmm. Your outstanding and unblemished record on issues important to firearm owners and sportsmen stands above all others and is the mark of a true champion in freedom. The Bill of Rights, the NRA, you have earned our endorsement and our gratitude."
Ah.
That was Charlie Crist when he was Republican.
Uh-huh.
Because he said all the things that everybody wanted to hear, right? Yes. Let's see if we can find... Charlie Crist wants to repeal Florida's powerful preemption statute, which mandates, which is a very good. Here's the letter from the Democrat Party endorsing now Democrat Charlie Crist in Congress. So not in Florida anymore, in Congress. Congressman Crist fought for the common sense gun violence prevention legislation. There he voted for and co-sponsored every piece of major gun safety legislation, including the historic bipartisan Safer Communities Act and legislation to close gun law loopholes. Those votes allowed Congress to take immediate action against the gun violence epidemic and make Florida families safer.
Sure.
So, which Charlie Crist will you vote for? If there's not some DeSantis ads that run that way and go, who's Charlie Crist? Charlie Crist doesn't even know who Charlie Crist is. But right now, the ads where people are thanking Governor DeSantis are
They could have a Back to the Future ad Where they go back to the different Charlie Crists.
Yes. I 100% agree. But anyway, I thought that was interesting that he could get ringing endorsements from two completely different groups on one of the most hot button political issues we have today.
From the opposite direction.
From the opposite direction. Just depending on what letter is next to his name.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met him when he came to speak in St. Augustine one time, and I met him. I mean, hey, that was it, right? But everybody in the room was like, he was attorney general, like, he's running for governor. Yeah. And everyone's like, I think everyone quit work that day and went home and just took a shower. It was just one of those political meetings. You're like, this is not a good political feel. And so anyway, yes. All right, we need questions. So Carrie, Tim, Bobby, all the rest of you guys, throw us a couple of questions for Monday. I do have one to start us off.
Okay.
Who is the best modern day artist, right? I mean artwork. I do not mean musician.
Okay.
Artwork in today's society. Who's our Picasso? Who is our Rembrandt? I have a phenomenal answer, but I am saving mine.
Man, that's a, you got to do homework because I got to think on that.
You got to think.
Yeah. So you give yours while I think.
Isabella, you have anybody?
I don't know any modern day.
See, I don't either. I don't either.
We study old artists, all dead.
I don't know any. I will tell you this. Locally, it's Matt Cutter. We're going to give Matt Cutter a shout out, right? Matt Cutter. But I have to tell you, as good as Matt's work is, when I sit waiting for a train to go by, that's when I see the true artists of our generation. Some of the stuff that those guys paint on the trains while they're moving is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So that's kind of where my head was going, but I can't remember his name. The graffiti artist that calls out hypocrisy on the left. I can't remember his name.
I know who you're talking about. He does all kinds of, he doesn't necessarily do artwork, but he does advertising and banners, and they're usually placed out in LA and places like that.
He does like political statements, and a lot of times they look like, but he's kind of
the guy that sold the Lerp sculpture to Jacksonville.
Banksy. Banksy's who I'm thinking of.
Yes.
Banksy is the guy I'm thinking of.
Yours is Banksy.
All right.
Bobby's is the guy that sold the Lerp sculpture to Jacksonville. The Lerp.
Oh.
That poor guy is the most money he's ever made. Not on an art scholarship.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your favorite part of fall?
Favorite part of fall? Well, my birthday's in October.
Okay.
I love Halloween, too, because I love costumes. So probably favorite part of fall would be Halloween.
Isabella?
I like Halloween because, like, usually this past year we did a theme, and me and my friend and my whole family dressed up as Harry Potter characters. And this year we're doing Pirates of the Caribbean, and I'm really excited.
See, I think when you go theme-wise with a whole group of friends, that's really, really fun. They have character day at St. Joe. Mm-hmm. And one of my sons went as Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
So everybody picked a Will Ferrell character from all of his different movies to go as.
That's
just a phenomenal thing. So for me, it's the fact that we finally get rid of humidity.
Yeah.
Right. We finally get nights in the 60s. Humidity drops a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I love the heat and I love summer, but it's about 30 days too long. Yeah. And when it goes all the way into October, it's about 60 days too long. So this weekend when I was cutting the grass on Sunday, I was like, this actually feels good.
Yeah.
I was hot, but it wasn't. I guess for me, I wasn't completely soaked in the front yard before I ever got to the backyard. So I was like, oh, this is kind of cool.
That's
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Being able to have fires in the backyard is also
me. Fires in the backyard are great.
Yeah.
As long as the wind is not blowing in the direction that you're sitting.
We have a chimenea, so it takes the smoke up above your head.
Of course you have a Spanish-speaking fire because your husband is from...
Well.
From I know.
Keeping true to culture, what can I say?
I just got a pit with some wood in it, and we use lighter fluid, and lots of it.
He just goes around it as the wind changes direction.
I do. I go around it as the wind changes. You just move
a circular
the chair.
Bench around.
Can never
the
figure
pit.
Out why I smell like smoke when I've been sitting out there the whole time.
Yep.
Strange to me.
Yep.
All right. you mentioned Thanksgiving, or not Thanksgiving, Halloween.
Yep.
That is my least favorite holiday.
Yeah.
I'm not a scare guy. I've never been a horror movie person.
I don't like horror movies.
I don't like horror. I like costumes, and I like the fellowship. We have like we have a block party out on our street.
Mm-hmm. So it's dress up for you.
Yeah.
It's again, difficult thing for me to get into. Just saying.
I was a performer. I danced. I love wearing costumes. So it's one of the rare chances that I get to wear a costume as an adult.
Do you and Louie get dressed up in a theme?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. They do.
Oh, wait a minute. Isabella, what's your favorite theme for a Halloween character for your mom and your dad? You're not allowed to answer this yet.
I'm pulling up pictures because I think I know what you're going to say.
I like the Harry Potter ones.
Okay.
And I like the Moana ones that we did.
Who was Dumbledore?
Oh, none of us was Dumbledore.
I have no idea who that character is. The name popped into my head. I've watched zero Harry Potter.
It's so good, though.
So... yeah, we were characters that you wouldn't know because you haven't watched Harry Potter.
Nope, I don't know.
We were Hagrid, and I don't even know my character's name.
My name was Madame Maxime.
Madame Maxime.
Yeah. Okay.
So we were two characters that he kept his beard and his long hair, and he had to put a pillow under it because he's a big, fluffy giant, and I was an even taller giant, so we have pretty funny pictures of us in costume.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can pull up.
All right.
We're talking.
And in my neighborhood, when we first moved into it 30 years ago, there was like no kids.
Yeah.
And now it's become this big kid neighborhood. And it's really cool to have all the kids come up and they're dressed as different things. And it's a lot of fun. And then the high school kids show up at about 11 o'clock to raid whatever's left over. So. Yeah.
So this was us. And I can go around and show the camera.
No. Very nice.
Whole deal. And I'm up because I'm a giant. So I'm up on the step stool.
I gotcha. You're going to share that. Yes. My best ever Halloween costume was in college. Yeah. Best ever. My roommate was preppier than I was. I was kind of that surf culture kind of, and I had no style whatsoever, right? If I happened to dress appropriately, it was just an accident.
It was an accident.
It was not on purpose. And so Dale went dressed as something to the Halloween, and I raided his closet. I got his polo shirt. I got his polo jacket. I got his favorite New York Yankees ball cap. And I went in with loafers dressed like him.
Yeah,
everybody immediately knew who I was, right?
And what
it was the best costume I've ever. People were like, "Oh, that's the best costume ever."
So did he like it, or was he annoyed?
Well, he kind of looked at me like, "What are you doing in my clothes?" And then he realized what I was doing. I think after a while he appreciated it, but probably not for the first 15 minutes.
Probably not.
I don't know that he ever wore the jacket and the hat and the shirt ever again, and I don't know that I can blame him. But. No, I tainted it forever. I put surf culture on it. So, yeah, that was probably one of the funniest ones that I ever did. So, favorite sporting event in the fall?
Oh, I don't know.
So, you've got, if you're tennis, you got the U.S. Open. You've got college football starts up, the NFL, baseball, right? All of those things. So, what's your favorite sporting event? So, don't say the swimming finals at some random place.
Not even close. I've talked about it before. My birthday's in October.
Yeah.
And Clemson's homecoming, big homecoming weekend, is right around my birthday. My brother's birthday is also in October. So we would go up many years. Mm-hmm. We would go for their homecoming, and they would do this big parade, and they would have skits in the stadium, and these college students would be putting on all these hilarious skits, which I'm sure there were lots of inappropriate jokes, but Clemson's pretty clean about stuff like that, so nothing too bad, I guess. And they have big floats that they put out on a field, and it was fantastic. They do fireworks, and then the game's just always so much fun. Tailgating at Clemson's the best.
Isabel, have you been to one of these yet?
I've been to one, yeah. That's probably my favorite sporting event.
Did you beat NC State in that? Just asking for Bobby.
Who did we play? I don't even know who we played.
Yeah. It wasn't probably NC. It was probably Florida State a couple of years ago.
It was North Carolina.
Though. It was North Carolina something. It might have been the Wolfpack.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been.
And for me, it was FSU games, right? We're always super fun on Saturday, except when we played Miami.
Yeah.
That during the 80s and some of the 90s, that was the most miserable Saturday in the fall.
Well, it would get
That's
violent,
the one Saturday
it?
Where you wish cable went out, satellite went out, the radio was shut down. You didn't want to get a newspaper the next week. It was like there was no reason for the hype or anything afterwards.
Yeah.
None. Now, I remember going to a Little League baseball game. Florida State's winning the entire time. I'm getting updates from the Seminole fans and the Gator fans, right? We get in the car to drive home. I look at Darcy. I said, we are going to pull into the house, get out of the car, turn the TV on, just in time to see Florida State miss a game-winning field goal. She said, why are you so negative? I said, I am not being negative. I'm being a realist. Drove home, got out of the car, turned the TV on, just in time to watch the snap, the kick, and I can't remember if it was left or right because there's been so many of them.
Yeah.
And I went, I told you, went back out and cut the grass. So I'm so mad I'm cutting the grass.
Yeah, I got a question.
All right.
Okay. What was your favorite 80s or 90s movie?
80s or 90s?
80s or 90s movie?
I got
You've got one.
Okay. What do you got? You ask the question, you go first.
You ask the question,
okay.
You go first.
I love the Titanic so much.
That was 2000.
No, that was 97.
Okay, it was 97. Good gracious.
The Titanic. Because the guy doesn't make it?
No. That's not why. I love it so much.
There's plenty of room on that raft.
There was plenty of room.
There's been studies. He could have made it.
He literally gathered our studies about it, too.
Yeah, 100% could have made it. Body warmth would have kept both of them alive longer.
And I love Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah.
It does.
Well, I heard he let go of the raft because she was looking older. Too soon?
Did you see the meme? We finally figured out why Jack didn't get on the raft, and it shows her age. She's 26. Awkward.
Wide left three. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, I remember that one. All right. Yours. All right.
I would have to say, I think Princess Bride was 80s. I'll go Princess
that
Bride.
That was 100%. It was a great movie.
Such a great movie. I love it.
It's my favorite movie. I told Louis that I don't want people to be sad at my funeral, so everybody should sit around and watch Princess Bride and remember how we used to quote it all the time.
Yeah. I got to go in that era, probably Star Wars.
Yeah.
The first Star Wars. It just was just a great... The science fiction up until that time... was horrible.
Yeah.
If you were a sci-fi fan, you fully expected in every space battle to see the hands holding the ships, right? You expected to go, why didn't that guy get a manicure before they did that, right? Yeah. I mean, it was, that's all you could get. You had the stop action, slow motion kind of. So there was a lot of groundbreaking stuff in that. I thought it was just a really, really cool story. Yeah. Walked out of that theater, went back and saw it multiple times, took my mom and dad to it, my brother and I. We're walking out, and my mom's like, well, there'll be a sequel. And I'm like, there's not going to be a sequel to Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. Why would you screw it up? I turned out to be right? The last three were horrible. But my mom says, did Darth Vader die? I said, no. She said, well, there'll be a sequel.
There'll be a sequel.
Darn it, mom was right.
And even in horror movies these days, when the bad guy dies, there's still going to be a sequel.
I think Sheriff Rob Hardwick arrested Michael Myers the other day.
He did?
He did arrest Michael Myers. I saw that the other day.
St. Augustine PD doing the Lord's work.
A Knight's Tale. Bobby with a Knight's Tale.
Yeah. A Knight's Tale. Heath Ledger, a Knight's Tale?
Yes.
Interesting.
I loved that movie.
I thought Heath Ledger was phenomenal as the Joker.
I thought it was a Knight's Tale was a fantastic movie. I couldn't stand the costuming on the women in that movie.
Oh my goodness, that was annoying. Yeah.
It totally ruined the movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody back then wore midriff shirts and
it was complete, like everybody else was period appropriate.
I didn't see any of it.
And
I'm just guessing.
She's in this like completely sheer, like modern interpretation of no way.
Yeah.
Zero chance.
Does she also have a sign that said, it's okay to try me as a witch because I'm wearing this dress?
That's exactly what
I mean, I'm just saying.
She would have been burned at the stake, and those synthetic fabrics would have caused third-degree burns.
I didn't like the ending either. I was not happy that he fell in love with her because she like made him lose.
She's terrible. She was a terrible character.
Yeah. She wasn't good.
All right, I want to thank all you guys for the comments. Amanda, Isabel, thank you for producing. It's great having you in here. The youth movement on our after. We are the youngest show on this network. This is St. Augustine this evening.
Who would have thought Mike would be on the
We'll be back tomorrow.